I'll always love you.
Welcome, everyone, to Xena and Uber's podcast, a.k.a. XNU. My name is Cass, and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following the podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 35. This podcast show is for all the Xena and Uber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. We have finally got some great news for you. My father-in-law has been released from the hospital and is resting comfortably. So that, of course, puts my missus at ease, which, of course, trickles down to me being at ease. I have also been able to start doing some minor projects off my honey-to list. We made we actually fixed up the doggy bed for the girls. Now, since they're almost 15 years old, they're both Border Collie Cross Kelpies. They have some arthritis in their age, and it's making it hard for them to get up into the bed. So I cut the legs down and sturdied the bed up and made it a little lower. Plus, I changed the cloth on it, so it was sagging. And when they got into it, they would literally sink down into a little ball. And they would curl up, and all you see would be their little Ewok ears hanging out. So it was just, it was cute, but not comfortable, I'm sure. So that took a couple of hours. And we also replanted a small ficus tree that we had out on our front door by the driveway. And about 2 weeks ago, we had a really huge windstorm, and one of these huge gusts knocked this tree over, and it was in a really big terracotta pot, and it just shattered it. So we had to go and buy this square-based sandstone pot that my wife wanted, which took a forklift to get into in the back of my truck. At home, I knew better than to try and lift it up, so we called a friend over, and it was too heavy for even him and my wife to do it. So my bright idea, I turned around and said, get a plank. Stick it up underneath there, and we'll tilt it and slide it down. And it worked perfectly. So, yeah, you know, I do have some kind of good thoughts in my head. So we're starting to make a little headway on the list of things on our home to get fixed up. And we're on a mission, as we have to, we have agreed to let one of the young ladies who works with my wife to have a wedding here in our backyard. She always said that if she are ever going to get married, that she would want it in our backyard after she attended our wedding ceremony here. So we have until March, but it's a lot of work to be done, so we need to get, you know, new lawn laid down and the trees trimmed and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So while we're taking advantage of it, we can get into it and do some of it. The weather has been, you know, one day for the next, you don't know what to expect. So one weekend we're in shorts and tank tops, and last weekend, and then Monday night, you know, you're back to track pants or sweatpants and a long shirt. Last night, another massive storm ripped through the coastline, and it was just torrential rain. So when we have a good day, we try to make the most of it, as you all should do as well. Now, the review coming up for this week, it's going to be a YouTube video. It's a snippet that my lovely wife has kindly suggested to me. It's now, mind you, the YouTube videos are in 10-minute segments. So to see the series of this movie, you have to watch like 7 or 8 different segments, because each one is 10 minutes, so it gives you about, you know, 70-80 minute long movie. And it's okay. I mean, it's something you should do once in a blue moon. It's just fun to actually do. It's different, it's unique, it's entertaining. So go grab yourself a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, some wine, soda, whatever it makes you float your boat, you know, makes you happy. And so you can sit back and enjoy the entire movie while sitting in front of your laptop or in front of your computer or whatever. The movie's called But I'm a Cheerleader, and this is what the plot summary for it says. Megan is an all-American girl. She's a cheerleader, she has a boyfriend, etc., but she doesn't like kissing a boyfriend very much, and she's pretty touchy with her cheerleader friends. And she only has pictures of girls up in her locker. Her parents and friend conclude that she must be gay and send her off to sexual redirection school, full of admitted homosexual misfits, where she can learn how to be straight. Will Megan be turned around to successfully heterosexual life, or will she succumb to her love for the beautiful Graham? Check it out on YouTube under But I'm a Cheerleader. Hope you enjoy the movie. Now, regarding the series you've been listening to, good news and bad news. Now, I don't know about you, but I always like to end things on a good note, so I'm going to give you the bad news first and then go on to the good news. Okay, I'm going to have to stop the series here. I have my reasons for doing this at this particular moment in time, and hope that you, my loyal listeners, respect my reasons, though I cannot reveal them to you just yet. I cannot say what will happen regarding the series, but suffice to say that I've really enjoyed doing the voices for the characters, and highly recommend that you go ahead and read the story on your own to find out what the conclusion of the series was. Now, on to the good news. I know that I've had a lot of requests for different authors and stories throughout the time that I've been on, and of them, and of the top few, was Melissa Good. Now, though I've gotten her permission to read her stories, I can only read some, as she has her stories professionally read and on sale at a different online site, and I do not want to encroach on those, and I respect her wishes not to. So that being said, I will start where I can. So we will begin this new section of XNU with Melissa Good's A Matter of Pride. The synopsis goes along like this. Amphipolis has grown into a bustling trading center with an increasing population and the troubles that come along with success. One thing they don't have to worry about, though, is being attacked. Everyone knows the protector of Amphipolis, and no one wants to mess with her for a minute, except her baby daughter and a certain bard. I'm very excited to introduce Melissa Good's work to XNU. She's an excellent author. I've read her stories, and I thoroughly enjoyed them. So her website is located at www.merwolf.com. So that's merwolf.com. And there's a link on top right-hand side that'll give you to her fan fiction site where most of her stories are located. I want to say thank you to Melissa Good for permission to go ahead and read these stories online. I really greatly appreciate that, and I'm hoping you, the listener, will appreciate it as well and drop her an email, let her know that you do as well. I hope you stay and listen to the new storyline and more to come from other authors as we go along. As I stated in an earlier episode that this is Xena and Uber, so we need to change the storyline along and get on to other different stories as we move. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and start off with A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good, Part 1. The road kicked up a cloud of dust, surrounding the lone figure trudging up its length. A small mule clopped slowly behind, bringing its own cloud along with it, past wheat-heavy fields that spread out on either side. To one side of the road ran a broad river, its waters moving steadily under the surface of two barges making the way upstream. Across the river was the sprawling buildings of the city, reaching out along the banks to either side and barricading the large docks where four or five barges were already unloaded. The man paused and regarded them, wiping the sweat off his brow. Then he glanced up to the high point on the side of the river, where a sturdy-built town with a strong protective wall guarded the approach. He shook his head.
"Place sure looks different, huh?"
The mule didn't answer.
The man continued his journey, up the slope of the road and past two fragrant orchards, whose fruit sent a sweet, rich scent blowing past him. He licked his lips, but resisted the temptation, and kept on walking, right up to the gates to the town. He was greeted there by a tall, thickly built man with salt-and-pepper hair, dressed in leather half-armor.
"G'day." "Bit hot, but sure."
The guard agreed amiably.
"Something I can help you find?"
"Polite guards," the man almost laughed.
"I'm looking for work," he explained. "I heard there might be some here."
The sentry studied him.
"Maybe,"
he confirmed.
"Depends on what you do."
"I fight,"
the man stated with a grin.
"Something that's always in demand."
"Okay."
The stocky guard scratched the back of his neck.
"And? We've got plenty of fighters here. This place attracts them like beet to flowers. What else do you do?"
The newcomer regarded him stolidly for a minute, then sighed and went to his mule, unstrapping the large pack draped across the animal's back. He drew out a crossbow and turned, holding it down and displaying its unloaded state before he crossed back over to the guard.
"Something useful. I make these."
"Huh."
The guard tilted his head.
"Not for me to judge."
He shrugged.
"Go on up to the armory and show the chief."
The man put his weapon away and led the mule past the gates, up a neatly bordered road, and into the bustling activity of midday. To one side, a path led up to a two-story inn, with a wide porch and open windows that allowed the scent of venomous stew to escape across the square. To the other side, rows of cabins stretched, neat walks between them, and to the rear, he could see the peaked roof of a well-built stable. He passed the communal well, giving the two women their smile, and kept walking. One of the women, slim and dark-haired, watched him go, hazel eyes speculative. The army was squat building to one side of the inn, and he made for it, giving his surroundings an approving nod. As he paused by the watering trough to let the mule take a drink, the back door in the inn opened, and a young woman came out, shouldering a linen bag as she headed his way. He watched her without seeming to. She wasn't tall, but something about the way she carried herself caught his eye. Dressed in a pretty sleeveless tunic, which was belted at her slim waist, she appeared a little different than the rest of the women moving about the place, except to his eyes. The soft fabric covered a smooth, muscled body, whose rolling, powerful walk clearly denoted a person who spent more time moving than sitting still. The men smiled in approval at her as she met his gaze, a little surprised at the intense power of the miscreant eyes he found pinning him.
"Ma'am?"
"Hi."
The woman detoured over to him and stopped the pace away, cocking her fair head to one side and studying him.
"Looking for something?"
Her face was open and engaging, a curious mix of youth and experience, a pleasant smile that belied the quiet shadows that lurked beneath those pretty eyes. The man debated whether to give her a saucy answer, then decided against it.
"Guy at the gate told me to come to the army. I'm looking for work."
He pulled the crossbow partially out again.
"And I make weapons."
The woman absorbed this.
"Okay, you want to see Zena," she decided. "Come on."
She turned and started walking, clearly expecting him to follow her. He was still frozen in place, though, by the one single name.
"Zena?"
he asked hesitantly, putting the mule's reins down and belatedly chasing after his new guide.
"Is she here now?"
An impish grin briefly transformed the woman's face, making her seem much younger than she first thought.
"Of course she's here. You're not scared of her, are you?"
"Well, no, of course not. But I..."
He hadn't expected to run into her. Not this soon. Not ever. If he was honest, all he was looking for was a little work and a bed.
"Don't worry,"
his guide told him kindly.
"She won't hurt you."
A pause.
"Unless you're a troublemaker. Are you a troublemaker?"
"Me? Oh, no.
He quickly shook his head.
"That's good,"
the woman stated, opening the door to the armory.
"She hates troublemakers. Hangs them in the stable naked and lets the bugs eat them alive."
He stopped dead in his tracks and turned his head, his eyes going round as he stared at her. Then he looked back around to the doorway in the back of the armory, where a tall, shadowy figure was just visible.
"Go on,"
the woman gave him a gentle push.
"It's okay. She's already had lunch."
He swallowed hard and took a few steps towards the open doorway, stopping again when the shadowy figure leaning over the workbench turned and straightened up, peering his way. He shivered, seeing the ice-pale eyes of legend, and realizing even from this distance that she would tower over him. A very dark eyebrow lifted in his direction.
"Yeah?"
The low, vibrant voice made his knees shake. He swallowed again and forced himself forward, approaching the intimidating figure cautiously. He was vaguely aware of the fair-haired woman's presence at his back, and he just barely resisted the urge to dash back to her much more reassuring presence. Zena was wearing a set of leather armor and heavy riding boots, and as he got closer, she seemed to get taller, the muscular body under those leathers shifting with fluid grace as she walked towards him and raked him with her eyes.
"What do you want?"
He tried to collect his thoughts, finding his head tilting back as she came closer. By the gods, she was tall, with broad shoulders and large, powerful hands. Her face was striking, high, plain cheekbones lending its hawk sharpness capped with thick, dark hair that matched the evenly tanned skin.
"Well?"
she growled, putting her hands on her hips. He thought about the stories. His teeth started to chatter. His eyes rolled up into his head, and he dropped without further sound, crumpling at Zena's feet in a sodden, helpless lump. Zena studied him with a perplexed look, then glanced up to the doorway. She spread her hands wide.
"What the Hades was that?" she demanded. "I didn't do a damn thing to him!"
a scowl.
Will you stop laughing?
Gabrielle slipped inside and skirted the poor victim as she slid her hands around her partner, giving the powerful body a squeeze as she regarded the lump on the floor.
Ah, the power of your personality, Xena. It just overwhelms people.
She tugged on a bit of Xena's leathers playfully.
You're such a knockout.
Xena rolled her eyes. Give me a break. Who the Hades is this, Gabrielle? Her partner studied the new friend.
Well, he's a soldier.
Another one? Xena sighed. God!
Honey, did you really expect to attract tailors?
Gabrielle asked reasonably.
Anyway, he's a weaponsmith, and from the looks of the crossbow he pulled out, a pretty good one.
Xena grunted, mildly mollified. Where were you headed? She turned her direction from the unconscious man to the bard at her side, nuzzling her hair a little.
Here,
Gabrielle told her.
I thought maybe you'd agree to take a break and join Dory and I for lunch.
She paused and tilted her head, kissing the warrior lightly on the lips.
Since I haven't seen you all day.
Xena exhaled and glanced around, giving the room an approving nod. The new armory had just been completed to her specifications, and well-made weapons lined the walls, and rested in various stages of becoming on the work tables. The crew she'd been training were on a break, and it seemed like a good time for her to do the same. Agreed. Xena stuck her head out the window.
Bennu!
Heavy footsteps approached, then the door was filled with Xena's second-in-command, a very tall, very broadly built fighter, with curly red hair and a square, earnest face.
Yes, General.
Xena pointed at the lump on the floor. Get him a place in the barracks. Bennu ambled over and took hold of the unconscious man, pulling him up and slinging him over his shoulder with very little effort.
Right ya, General.
The big man boomed.
Got that training session up for you a bit later. Lads are looking forward to it.
Xena chuckled. So am I. She offered a hand to Gabrielle. Come on, I hear a certain 2-year-old yelling for us. The bard gladly took her hand as they followed Bennu out of the armory, watching him trudge off towards down the long path that headed through the orchards and exited down the slope where the militia barracks had been built. Something else new, Gabrielle mused, as she paced alongside her partner, their hands clasped warmly between them. Xena seemed to be deep in thought, so Gabrielle remained quiet as they walked between the new construction, around the other side of the inn, to where the newest buildings were having some final touches put on its thatched roof. It was a long, low structure, with large, square windows, and from them laughter and squeals were drifting out. Gabrielle reached down and opened the door to the schoolroom, allowing Xena to precede her inside. She followed and closed the door, standing quietly for a moment to absorb the scene. A dozen children of various ages were playing, some with stuffed toys, some with blocks hand-sewn from fallen wood. The room itself was very colorful and bright. Chests against the wall held toys and books, and there were sturdy tables where the children could work bits of charcoal on forming letters. She spotted her daughter almost immediately, in the corner with some of the youngers, her thatch of midnight dark hair shaggy and vivid. Dory was playing with a tug of knotted rope, her face intent and serious, as she held her ground against 3 other children pulling against her. Tall for her age, and possessing a sturdy frame that promised a lot of future growth, Dory took advantage of her greater size and strength and pulled hard, letting out a tiny grunt as she successfully gained possession of the tug toy and sent her 3 competitors sprawling on the rush-covered floor.
Gah!
Dory chortled, holding the toy up.
She's such a brat, Gabrielle sighed. Dory!
The dark head turned and spotted them, big green eyes widening in the light.
Mama!
Dory dropped her prize and bolted, rambling across the floor.
Boo! Come here, honey.
Gabrielle knelt down and opened her arms, gathering her daughter and hugging her as she threw herself at her mother. She stood up and hefted the tot, glancing up at her partner. Xena watched with a quiet smile, reaching out and letting Dory capture her hand as the child giggled in delight.
Boo!
Dory wobbled.
I got rocks!
You did, huh?
Xena chuckled.
Where are they?
Dory pointed at a pile of stones on a nearby table.
There.
She wiggled in Gabrielle's arms, as though she could fly to the table.
Mama, go there.
Goodest place as any for lunch, Xena commented as they complied. though the seats were on the short side for the tall warrior. She settled down, though, extending her long legs out along the floor and watching benignly as some of the other children climbed over them. Zena and Gabrielle were a common sight in the schoolroom, and their presence didn't excite that much attention, though the two children's keepers waved at them from where they were preparing lunch for the rest of the kids.
"What do we have for lunch today, huh, Dory?"
Gabrielle opened her sack and poured out its contents.
You save the cookies for later."
Zena chuckled, filching one of the nut pastries for herself and popping it into her mouth.
"Stop that, you bad influence!"
The bard shook a finger at her.
"Here."
She gave Dory a small dish of vegetables.
"What now?"
Dory argued.
"Mama, no like that."
She sat down on the table and pushed the dish away, then changed her mind and picked up a carrot, studying it seriously before she looked up, spotted a likely target, and flung the carrot at. Zena lifted a hand lazily and swiped the item out of midair.
"Dory, that's not nice," she drawled.
"Not nice,"
Dory repeated seriously.
"Want cookies?"
"Maybe if you'd ate the carrot, she'd copy you," Gabrielle suggested pointedly.
"Boo!"
Blue eyes flicked her way, then Zena smiled and popped the vegetable into her mouth, crunching it and swallowing obediently. They both looked at Dory, who was staring at Zena with utter absorption. Zena lifted an expressive eyebrow. Dory got to her knees and crawled over to where her beloved playmate was sitting and leaned over, bracing one hand against Zena's leathers-covered body. The top boldly grabbed Zena's mouth and pulled, peering inside when the warrior obligingly opened it, trying hard to not laugh. Gabrielle had no such compunction, and she giggled heartily.
"Oh, Dory, you just did exactly what I was thinking."
Zena picked up Dory and put her on her lap, laughter shaking her own body as she plucked a bit of beet from the bowl and offered it to a child.
"So,"
the warrior addressed a partner, "how's it coming?"
"Eh."
Gabrielle portioned out some meat and grain-filled pastries, handing Zena one and taking one for herself, while setting a smaller one aside for Dory.
"I don't like some of what's going on down in the city, Zena."
She took a bite of her pastry and watched a warrior do the same.
"There's an element drifting in down there, especially in the market, that's just up to no good."
Zena considered this as Dory reached up and snatched a handful of her pastry, cramming it into her mouth with a happy gurgle.
"I don't want to send the militia down there," she stated. "Council's going to have to name a constable, Gabrielle. Get a magistrate in here and start putting in some laws. We can't just go on like this." Amphipolis's growth had, Gabrielle Riley acknowledged, definitely turned out to be a two-edged sword. While she was glad her adopted home town was doing well and growing, each new influx of people caused problems, most of which eventually involved either her as the chief city's arbiter or Zena, who had accepted the task of being in charge of the militia. They still called in the militia, of course, even though now with a force large enough to defend the vastly expanded territory of Amphipolis and its outlying hamlets now covered, it was truthfully an army in fact, if not in name. Gabrielle knew why Zena refused to change the name, though. She watched her partner's angular profile as she shared a meal with Dory, thinking about what the changes time had brought with them in both of their lives. Zena surely had never dreamed she'd end up being asked to command the largest military force for many leagues. Gabrielle herself had never intended on controlling the legal fate of the now substantial populace in her hands. But here they were, a year after Zena's defeat of Andreas, squarely in the midst of the onrushing stream of progress that was reshaping their familiar world and making the peace of their sleepy hometown a thing of the far past. Gabrielle wasn't sure if it was all a good thing.
"All right, I'll call a council meeting for tomorrow morning," she told Zena. "Will you come convince them?"
"Like that?" Zena smiled as Dory smeared some of her lunch across her chubby cheeks.
"Like that,"
Dory giggled.
"Where's Boo?"
"Right here." The warrior put a fingertip on Dory's small nose. "Gonna show me your rocks?"
Dory shoved the pile towards her buddy.
"Look."
She picked up a round, speckled specimen.
"This is near fishy."
Zena picked up the rock and studied it seriously. "Did you catch the fishy?"
Gabrielle munched on her pie and just watched them. Zena and Dory were so cute together, the two dark heads bent close together
as the daughter earnestly explained how rocks and fishes were the same thing. If nothing else, the year past had solidified them as a family. The responsibilities they'd taken on, growing both her and Zena, in a way far different than they'd ever been before. Ed brought a veneer of comfort and normality to their lives, and given them both the time and the space to heal parts of themselves she'd long lost thought past healing. "Next time, you should catch the fishy," Zena was saying, wiggling her fingertips a little, "like this." Dory waved both her hands in mimicry, and they all laughed. "Well, it's a start." Zena leaned back after ruffling Dory's hair affectionately. "Right, sure stuff?"
"Yes,"
Dory agreed solemnly. Zena leaned back and sighed, resting an arm on the table, her eyes regarding Gabrielle. "Know what I feel like doing?" Green eyes twinkled gently.
"No, what?"
Gabrielle asked, watching the expressive face opposite her.
"Taking the afternoon off?"
She hazarded a guess, reading the faint sense of twitchiness present. A half-grin appeared. "Let's take the munchkin and go find some quiet space," Zena said. "My nerves are rubbed raw today for some reason." She played with Dory's foot inside its leather booty.
"Sure,"
Gabrielle readily agreed. Zena had been too quiet lately, going about her task with a sense of stolid determination, but lacking, to the bard's eye, a certain spark that she missed. She wondered if all the responsibilities and tasks weren't getting to be just a bit too much for her partner's sometimes wild and often restless spirit.
"God, I'd love to. Hey, want to spend the night out?"
she suggested.
"We can take Dory's knapsack and teach her how to count stars. What about it?"
Zena's eyes lit up, though her expression remained casual. "All right," she nodded. "What about it, Dory? You want to go ride with us?"
"Horses?"
Dory squealed.
"We go now."
She scrambled to her feet and flung herself at Zena, who caught her in midair and tossed her up.
"Yes!" "Looks like it's unanimous,"
Gabrielle laughed.
"Come on, let's go pack. I'll stop by the inn and tell Mom and the Amazon posse we're taking off."
Zena cradled her daughter in the crook of one arm and stood up, stretching out her body with a few soft popping noises. "Don't bring dinner," she told her partner. "I'll teach Dory how to catch fishies. How about that, huh, Dor?"
"Fishies."
Dory sucked her thumb.
"Uh-huh. Then I'll have to teach her how to cook them,"
Gabrielle teased gently as she slipped her arm around Zena's waist and they left the school. Zena's idea had surprised a little, but in a pleasant way. The more she thought about it, the more she liked it. Zena realized, of course, that having Dory splashing alongside her was going to make actually catching any fish a tough ride. So she let the tot to help Gabrielle gather wood for the fire and slipped off, stripping out of her arm as she headed for the cool, blue-black water. The chill was a slight shock, but she waded on, allowing the surface to creep up to her body until she was submerged by her waist. For a moment, she merely stood there, absorbing the wild feel of the current against her skin and the relative silence, the sounds of the wood around her brushing lightly across her hearing with something almost like relief. It was ludicrous, she reasoned, that she could actually miss having to scrounge for her supper every night. She cocked her head to one side and listened as the sounds of Dory's laughter and Gabrielle's clear voice faded as she focused down tight, listening for ripples, feeling the shift of the current against her legs. Ah! A wry smirk appeared. Zena waited patiently, eyes half closed, acknowledging the almost primal pleasure that swept over her as her prey swam within her reach. A sobering thought suddenly occurred to her. What if she missed? One blue eye peeked over her shoulder, checking to see where her beloved soulmate and their child was. Gabrielle was swinging Dory overhead, and neither seemed to be watching closely. Reassured she wasn't about to make a complete fool of herself, Zena returned her attention to the water, fixing her focus once again on the motion below the surface. She allowed her reactions to settle, then pounced, her hand slicing through the water towards a target pinned with every sense she had save vision itself. The slick, scaled surface scraped along her skin, and she clamped down hard, anticipating the struggle. The fish didn't disappoint her, its body twisting powerfully inside her grip as it fought to escape.
Ah,
Gotcha! Zena growled at it as she flexed her legs and pulled backward, yanking her furiously fighting dinner from the water.
Ooh!
A voice almost made her drop the damn thing.
Nice one!
Zena swiveled her body and heaved the fish from her, out over the surface of the water, towards the bank, which now held an interesting watching Gabrielle and a completely fascinated Dory. There you go. The fish flew over both of their heads and landed on the ground, where it flopped and grunted. This was way too much fun for Dory, who wriggled free from her mother's grip and bolted towards it.
Mama! A fishy!
Gabrielle laughed.
Yes, honey, it sure is.
She glanced back at the water, where her partner now standing easily, watching the show. The afternoon sunlight poured across Zena's body, unnecessarily gilding her skin and reflecting off the droplets of water clinging to it.
Say thank you to Boo for your supper, okay?
Dory touched the fish, then jerked back as it flopped.
Bad fishy!
She slapped it with a small hand.
Gosh!
Zena watched the action contented for a moment, then returned her attention to the river, knowing one fish wouldn't be enough to satisfy all of them. She wiggled her fingers and went back to the hunt, allowing herself a guilty enjoyment now seldom indulged. Gabrielle neatly dispatched the fish and hung it up outside of her daughter's reach. Dory wasn't pleased with this, however. She hopped up and down and reached up with one hand, making a sound of child frustration.
Dory, now stop.
Mama, I'm fishing,
Dory wailed.
Gimme!
Dory?
Gabrielle put her finger to her lips.
Shh. Boo won't catch another one if you make so much noise.
That never stopped you.
A voice rumbled behind her, and the bard turned to see Zena dripping on the leaf litter, her leathers slung over her shoulder, and a huge trout, depending from its gills, in one hand. Sounds just like you used to at the end of a long day, matter of fact.
Very funny.
Gabrielle took the fish and poked her in the belly.
It's not my fault you used to run us both ragged.
She held the fish up out of Dory's grasp and hung it near its fellow victim.
Now put your dinars where your mouth is and show her how to catch one of those suckers.
Zena chuckled as she laid her leathers down and picked up the outraged Dory, cradling her up against her damp skin. Hey, shorty, wanna go swimming? Dory accepted this distraction amiably.
Go swim,
she agreed, tugging on Zena's dark hair.
Go swim and get fishy.
A pause.
Now.
Zena laughed.
Yes, ma'am.
She turned and headed back towards the river with her imperious offspring, leaving Gabrielle to finish getting the campfire laid. The bard knelt beside the newly stacked wood, striking the sparks that would light it.
Don't tell anyone, but damn, I miss this.
She addressed the fire as it started, blowing gently on the sparks to catch the tinder.
Not so much the dirt and the bugs and the work of it, but just...
She sat back with a sigh, regarding the two figures now playing in the water.
The depending on ourselves for everything part.
She wondered if that wasn't what prompted Zena's idea. Gabrielle allowed her eyes to linger on her tall soulmate's frame in quiet speculation. Then she sighed and brushed her hands off, crossing her legs and starting to untie the laces on her boots.
Okay.
Zena watched Dory splash enthusiastically through the water, her strong body making immense meat of the light current. The baby had been swimming since she'd been only months old, and she adored the water, treating it with a complete fearlessness that sometimes worried her more cautious parents.
Now come here.
Dory swam to her arms and grabbed on, her legs continuing to move until Zena slid a hand under her and supported her in the water.
Boo, love you.
She burbled happily, catching Zena's arm and giving a sloppy baby kiss.
Can we go fly?
Zena grinned.
Which do you want first? Fishies or flying?
She asked pragmatically.
Can't do both.
She slipped into deeper water and held Dory's hands, swinging her around.
Gotta choose, Dory.
The little face scrunched in thought, looking so much like Gabrielle that it brought a smile to Zena's face.
Both,
Dory decided.
Go fly and catch fishies.
You just want everything, don't you?
Zena gazed at her.
Yes.
Dory splashed her parent enthusiastically. Blue Eyes looked carefully around, then Zena bent her head closer.
That's okay, she murmured. 'Cause I do too. You get that from me, you know,
she informed her daughter. Dory giggled and grabbed Xena's nose, tugging it hard. Then she turned at the sound of more splashing.
Mama!
That's me. Gabrielle joined them, swimming over with quick, powerful strokes. What are you two up to? Making trouble?
Yes,
Dory assured her.
Boo trouble.
Gabrielle snickered. Oh, honey, you just said a mouthful and you don't even know it. She kidded her soulmate, who snorted. Nah, Xena shook her head. Not anymore. She flicked a bit of water at Gabrielle. Despite your tormenting newcomers with wild stories about me. She handed Dory over to her mother, then disappeared under the water, leaving the bard to quietly speculate. Was that really true? Gabrielle floated on her back and played with Dory, who had found a bit of underwater fern she was busy decimating. Yeah, maybe it was, she decided, feeling a little surprised. Xena had, without question, changed this past year, just as she had. The warrior had accepted her new role of military commander easily, but it had changed the way she was regarded, in Amphipolis and in the surrounding lands. The warring princess was fading into the mists. In her place stood the stalwart defender of Amphipolis, respected throughout the region for her planning skills and military acumen. There were people living there now, Gabrielle suddenly realized, who had only known Xena as champion and hero, who hadn't heard or didn't know about her dark past, and the potential for violence still coiled behind those pretty blue eyes. Weird. Though certainly there were many who remembered the past, their visitor from earlier among them. But over time, the bard mused, the majority would accept that Xena they knew now, the captain of their guard, the loving mother, the faithful friend.
Wow, Gabrielle said aloud. That's cool.
And of course, she was swamped by the cold river water seconds later. She surfaced spluttering, wiping the pale hair of eyes, and glaring around to see mischievous azure eyes sticking up over the river's edge, watching her.
You.
Dory giggled.
Mama Zoet,
she pointed.
Funny.
Gabrielle got her feet under her and stood up, letting the water sheet over her in the waist-high river.
Just for that, madam. No cookies for you,
she pointed at Xena. The warrior also stood up and waded over to her, towing Dory along by one hand. She stopped as they came face to face and tilted her head, capturing Gabrielle's lips with impudent expertise. Sorry, she breathed as they parted. I couldn't resist.
Oh,
the bard replied, leaning forward and accepting another kiss.
So you think this'll make me forgive you?
Uh-huh. Xena brushed lightly against her, a tingle of heat amidst the chilled waters. Then she lifted Dory up and slipped past, letting her free hand slide across Gabrielle's skin, ending with a tweak in a very sensitive spot. Gabrielle closed her eyes and waited for the splashing to stop. Then she opened them and released her breath, feeling the flush rising to her skin. She addressed the river, glad to at least that one thing hadn't changed. With a sigh, she ran her fingers through her damp hair and turned slogging out of the river and up onto the bank as a breeze brought goosebumps to her skin.
Hey, see,
she almost got the words out before a shirt hit her in the chest and she grabbed it.
Thanks.
Here. Xena handed one of the soft woven towels they'd gotten in the last big market. She took a second and carefully wiped Dory off while Gabrielle got one of the baby's jumpers out of their gear. She handed the jumper to her partner as she used the towel she'd been given to dry Xena's back instead of her own. The smooth surface moved under her hands as she glanced up to see Xena watching her over her shoulder. Aye. Xena put Dory down and turned, using the towel in her hand to start drying Gabrielle off, wiping carefully around her ears and down her neck, all without saying a word. The fire crackled softly in the background, warming the skin, and Gabrielle found the combination of chills and heat very interesting. She looked up into Xena's eyes and smiled.
Thanks for suggesting this.
A quick grin, then Xena wiped her ears and winked at her. Glancing over her shoulders, they heard a rustling in the nearby bushes.
Ah,
the warrior chuckled, as Ares, their pet wolf, trotted into the firelit circle, shaking his head and scattering some small feathers as he did. There you are. Didn't you like the idea of a fish for dinner, huh? Harry sat down and panted, as Dory scrambled for him with a delighted squeal. The wolf quickly laid down, having learned from experience it was easier than being knocked down by the toddler's enthusiasm. Dory wrapped her arms around the wolf's neck and warbled a greeting.
Guff, guff, guff. Bad guff. Go bye-bye. Bad.
Ares gave Zena a plaintive look, then sighed and started licking Dory's face, cleaning the river water off, as Dory tugged on his thick black fur.
Now that the family's all here, I guess I can start dinner going.
Gabrielle laughed as she pulled the linen shift over her head and let it settle all over her body.
Any chance of you...
She started to egg Zena, then realized the warrior had vanished after donning a tunic of her own.
Getting some greens to go with it?
The bard finished with a sigh.
Guess we'll just have to see what Boo comes back with, huh, Dory?
Cookie!
Dory looked up from her chewing of Aerie's ear.
Boo gets cookies!
Gabrielle just chuckled to herself as she pulled out her knife set, a long-ago gift from Zena, and started working on the fish. The fire had burned nice and low, its heat and solid red glow sending a wash of crimson across the campsite. Dory was snoozing peacefully in the clever, collapsible hide cradle Zena had dreamed of a few months back. Zena was leaning back against the granite boulder, and Gabrielle had taken the spot between her outstretched legs, comfortably wrapped in her partner's arms as she had shared out their dinner. Zena had, actually, remembered the greens, but she'd also found a sackful of nuts, berries, and the most delicious plums Gabrielle had ever seen or tasted. She cut a sliver of one now and handed it back over her shoulder, smiling when she felt soft lips exploring her fingers after removing it.
These are even better than cookies.
Mmm. Zena rested her chin on Gabrielle's shoulder. More. The bard provided another slice.
You're starting to sound just like Dory.
She kidded her partner gently, as the hold around her middle tightened. She felt Zena exhale.
Are you all right?
Zena was momentarily silent. Yeah, I'm fine. She answered in a normal voice, leaning back and pulling Gabrielle with her. Why?
Why? Good question. You just seem very quiet tonight.
Gabrielle felt her way carefully.
I mean, not that you're ever really noisy, Zena. Unless you're fighting, and you make those grunting noises and that yowl you do.
She felt the surface she was leaning against shake slightly as Zena laughed.
You just seem like you're thinking hard about something.
She glanced over her shoulder at the half-shadowed face behind her.
Are you?
Zena regarded her quietly for a long moment. Then she shrugged lightly. Nothing special. She gently moved a bit of Gabrielle's fair hair out of her eyes. Just how much things have changed. Gabrielle half turned so she could see her partner's face better.
I was thinking about that too,
she said, knowing the one way to get Zena to talk was to start talking herself.
I was thinking about how much Amphipolis has changed, and how our lives have changed because of that. Because of the responsibilities that we've taken on this last year.
Zena nodded. Yeah. Okay.
So maybe not. It's a lot of work, Gabrielle added, then fell silent, herself.
The still tanned face twitched a time or two. Worthwhile, though. If you let things just grow out of control, it's a mess, Zena stated finally. It's just strange for me to find myself in the position I... She paused. When Lysias and I used to talk about what happened after Cortese, this is what we thought it would be like. Gabrielle considered that.
So, just took a little longer than you expected, she hazarded quietly. I think you do a great job, by the way. Everyone is in awe of your knowledge and planning skills.
Thank you. Zena smiled. Damn good thing it took so long, because I didn't have those as a 15-year-old. She reminded her partner, Riley. You do a damn good job yourself, you know. I heard two of the councilmen talking the other day about you.
Nice change of subject. Gabrielle almost made the comment audibly, then decided to give it a rest for a bit and find a different angle to prod later. I try to, she answered it modestly. It's going to be nice when we finish the performance area. We've got 6 or 7 singers and poets who can't wait to start. And with the size the town is now, they should be popular.
A pause.
And, I've got a few new stories I'd like to try out there, too.
She smiled as she added the last, feeling again the tingle of anticipation. Zena grinned at her. Can't wait to hear you. She slid a hand around the bard's neck and pulled her closer, planting a kiss on top of her head and hugging her tightly. I always wanted this kind of life for you, she murmured. I just never figured on being there to see it. Tears stung Gabrielle's eyes unexpectedly. She clenched her jaw and swallowed, then drew in a shaky breath.
I wouldn't have wanted any kind of life if you hadn't been there to see it.
She felt her hair stroked gently, and her body relaxed under Xena's familiar touch.
We deserve the lives we're leaving, Zena. We went through Hades twice to earn them.
I know, Zena affirmed. I think we should enjoy every minute of it. She lifted Gabrielle's chin up and kissed her. I intend to make sure you do.
What about you?
Gabrielle asked silently, searching the depths of Zena's eyes. Seeing no shadows lurking there, she relaxed and leaned in again, tasting the sweet tinge of a plum and a hint of wild berries on the warrior's lips.
With you here, everything else just nice frills.
She brushed a thumb over one plain cheekbone.
You're all I've ever needed, Zena.
The blue eyes warmed and gentled at that statement, all the more so because it was the simple truth, and they both knew it. Sometimes, life just worked out, even when all the odds said otherwise. I must be going insane, Zena mused silently, as she watched the first rays of dawn creep across the thick green grass leading towards their campsite. She could, she knew, have been lying in complete comfort in their cabin, on their bed. Gabrielle had surprised her by adding a thick pad of quilted down to it several months back, after she twisted just the wrong way during a melee drill with the militia and thrown her back out. She'd been in agony to come home to find that little bit of pure consideration waiting for her had almost brought tears to her eyes. It had made the pain almost irrelevant, lying there cradled in Gabrielle's arms in that soft comfort, listening to the bard murmur a favorite story to her until the muscles finally loosened and released her from that fierce grip. So, she could have been curled up into that comfortable nest with Gabrielle, but instead, here she was, lying on a cold, hard ground, with dew coating her face and a rock for a pillow under her cloak, and she was completely contented, enjoying the warmth of Gabrielle's deeply asleep body draped over hers and the sharp, clean smell of the earth and grass so nearby. Made her think about the years she and Gabrielle had spent on the road, alone together, and wandering the world in search of her redemption. They'd been hard times, no doubt about it, and many long nights spent shivering and hungry. But somehow, Zena glanced down at the barge profile, seeing the faint crease of a smile pulling at the edges of her lips. Life had been so much simpler. A day was just getting up, finding breakfast, and wandering off to find some new adventure, some new problem to solve, or sometimes just a new road to walk down and explore. Now, it was different. Zena sighed. Not that different was bad, really. She didn't have to worry about either of them being killed or maimed on a daily basis, for one thing. That was good. They could count on shelter and 3 meals a day, and that was good too, because it meant there was much less chance of either of them getting sick. Gabrielle hadn't had a bout of coughing sickness since Dory had been born. In fact, they both had put on some solid reserves and were mostly strong and healthy. Zena still got to fight every day, as part of the training for the army. They kept her nerves in good order and burned off the energy reserves she tended to hoard. So that was good. Gabrielle was in charge of the school and heavily involved in the new theater, and she just finished a bound volume of her new poems. Her bardic muse finally restored now that she didn't have to spend half her time fighting for her life. That was very, very good. So, Zena, her conscience prodded her, what the Hades are you doing out here lying on the ground with a rock under your head and a spider crawling on your shoulder? She blew the insect off with a puff of breath and scowled at the trees rustling softly overhead. She knew soon her little jaunt would be over, and they'd head back to town for breakfast and the start of another long day. Was she going insane, or was it just as she truly cherished these moments when her family was together? And, Zeno's brow creased, could it be that she liked the self-sufficiency? The fact that out here, her family could depend on her and her alone for all their wants and needs, even Gabrielle, who was perfectly capable of sustaining herself? Oh, wow. Zeno let her eyes close at this very complicated and not very productive thought. Besides, there was no going back, and she knew it. That era of her life was over, and she wasn't either a rampaging warlord or a penitent wanderer anymore. The fire crackled a bit, and Zeno opened her eyes, seeing the faint reflection as Ares did the same, curled up as he was right next to Dory's cradle. Oh, well. She regarded the lightly fog-tinged campsite with a faint smile. There was always nights like last night to be had, for the asking, and when Dory was older, longer camping trips on the horizon when Zeno could teach her the woodcraft skills she spent a lifetime acquiring. That would be fun. Zeno relaxed and shifted her hold on Gabrielle's inert body, pulling her just a bit closer as she closed her eyes again. Then another thought occurred to her, and she let her eyelids drift open in a far more sobering picture. What if Dory wanted to learn her other skills, the ones that involved steel and blood and killing? What then? She refused to teach Gabrielle those skills, in her misguided efforts to keep her young friend innocent, and look what happened. Zeno gazed at the barge profile with a sense of residual distinct sadness, an ache she knew she would always feel, for as long as they both were alive and together. The world, her world, had gotten too dangerous, and Gabrielle hadn't really been ready for it. So, Zeno eyed the cradle. You know, Zeno, you're going to have a few years before you have to make that decision. Her more pragmatic side tapped her on the shoulder. I don't think Dory's going after the chakram anytime soon. So why not shelve this? Think about something more productive like what to scrounge for breakfast. It was that moment when she realized she intended to draw out their excursion for as long as possible. It had to wonder again what was going on inside that thick skull of hers.
Hey, sweetie.
Gabrielle's voice was husky with sleep. Zeno gazed down at her partner, whose eyes were still firmly closed.
What would I have to bribe you with to get you up to go berry picking with me for breakfast, then sneak off to our spring for a day of hedonistic sunbathing and self-indulgence?
Whatever it was seemed contagious, Zeno mused. Oh, not much. Some of those apples, maybe, she replied with a grin. But I thought we both had a full schedule today. Gabrielle sighed, warm gust of air that Zeno could feel even through the rough linen tunic she was wearing.
We do, she admitted, and the responsible thing would be to stick to it, right?
Right, Zeno agreed. They were both quiet for a moment. Then they looked at each other, in a worldless understanding so profound it made them both smile.
Serene!
The innkeeper looked up from her ledger.
Afternoon, Josh.
The Chown Reeve entered and crossed over, taking a seat across the table.
Have you any idea where Gabrielle is? She missed two council meetings this morning. That's not like her.
Sain gazed innocently at him.
Sorry, Josh. I haven't a clue. Haven't seen her since last night.
Josh drummed calloused fingers on the table.
Or Zeno either. So it's safe to assume that wherever she is, Gabrielle is probably pretty safe.
The innkeeper smiled.
Well,
the Reeve shook his head.
I don't know. Those merchants walked out today and they were very upset.
Cyrene shrugged.
They'll live, I'm sure.
That's not the point.
Jocelyn stood up and paced back and forth.
Sigh. You know how long we've been working to get this market consortium going? The winter season depends on it, and it looks like we're finally close. Now this happens.
Too bad,
Cyrene told him bluntly. Joss stared at her.
What?
I said, too bad, the innkeeper repeated. There are things more important than the market.
He put his hands on her hips.
Like what? I thought we all part of the team here, Sirene. What's your beef?
Sirene stood up herself.
What's my beef? Same as always been. It's great that Amphipolis is going up in the world, but you forget whose shoulders it's being carried on, she snapped back. Sometimes I want to smack you people and remind you you don't own either of my daughters, and they have a right to take time off for themselves sometimes.
Jocelyn sat down slowly and exhaled, scrubbing his hands through his grizzled hair.
I know,
he admitted.
No, you don't, Innkeeper sat down as well. No one really understands, Josh. Not even me,
she went on softly.
Just please, if they ask for some space, give it to them, and don't ask questions.
She regarded the ledger soberly.
They are taking the day off. Leave them alone.
Okay,
Josh nodded.
I'll just tell everyone to sit tight until tomorrow.
He stood up.
Sorry, Sai.
Sirene watched him leave, her head shaking slowly. Taurus entered, obviously having overheard.
You were a little tough on him, Taurus commented as he leaned against the post next to her table.
He's just trying to keep a handle on things, Mother.
Sirene merely grunted and went back to her task.
Z's fine. She's been fine for over a year,
Taurus went on.
She's too quiet,
Sirene stated flatly.
I've known her longer than you have.
Taurus rolled his eyes.
Mother, give me a break. Maybe it's just time for her to join the rest of us, okay? I don't look a gift horse in the mouth, and this one gave me my sister back, the one I remember.
He sat down.
The one who played with me and Lai.
His mother looked at him.
She's finally just becoming one of us again,
Taurus argued.
What's wrong with that?
One of us.
Sirene leaned on the table and pinned him with her gaze.
Taurus, you're not the brightest candle in the inn, but even you have to realize Xena's never been one of us.
Taurus sat back, hurt.
One of us doesn't come back from the dead,
Sirene went on mercilessly.
One of us doesn't leap across mountains or fight gods,
she slapped the table.
Name another girl from Amphipolis who fathered a child.
What are you saying?
Taurus asked in a quiet voice. Sirene exhaled and gave her head a tiny shake.
I don't know what I'm saying. Taurus, I would love for your sister to be exactly as you say, shedding her past, settling down, becoming one of us.
She stared at the table.
I just don't know if it's easy as all that.
Taurus fiddled with one of the quills on the table.
I think you're wrong, Mother,
he finally told her.
I think Z's found some peace that she's always evaded her.
He hesitated.
And I'm damn glad for her that it's true, and more glad for us. I know what she's capable of.
Do you?
His mother replied in a whisper.
I wonder if any of us really does. Ready, Tori?
Gabrielle stood at the edge of the spring and held out her arms.
Come on. Come to Mama.
She laughed as her fearless offspring leaped off a small flat rock she was standing on and into the water, splashing vigorously towards her until she ended up thumping against the bard's chest.
Good girl.
Xena swam over with long, lazy strokes, and ducked under the surface, twisting underneath them and coming up on the other side of Gabrielle in a spray of clear, cold liquid. She shook her head to clear the wet hair from her eyes and offered a hand out. Want me to take her for a swim?
Boo!
Dory squeamed out of Gabrielle's arms and chugged over towards Xena, grasping her outstretched fingers as the warrior backed away, pulling her through the water.
Go, 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 go!
Xena turned and let Dory climb up onto her bare shoulders. Then she took off across the spring, swimming with powerful strokes of her arms and smooth kicks as the baby hung tight and drummed her small feet against Xena's back. Gabrielle watched a moment, then she turned and put her hands on the rocks, pressing her body up and out of the water onto the warmth of the sun in a single motion,
The rock's heat felt good against her skin, and she stood and stretched, absorbing the light, before she climbed up onto a taller boulder and paused. The light breeze blew against her, and she took a moment to simply revel in how wonderful it felt. Then she took two steps forward and launched herself out into space, curving her body and ducking her head as she dove into the clear, clean water head first. It was always a shock, just hitting the surface, but she'd taken a breath before entering, and now opened her eyes a bit, ignoring the stings as she watched a school of trout move frantically out of her way. The reflected sunlight glanced off their scales as they moved, and she smiled, hitting the bottom of the spring and kicking off it back towards the surface. She kicked rhythmically and erupted from the water with a splash, sucking in a big lung full of air as she spread her arms and looked around, spotting Xena not far off. Her soulmate was swinging Dory around in a circle to the child's utter delight. Gabrielle watched indulgently for a moment, then started swinging back to the rock for another dive.
"You like that, huh?"
Xena asked as she slowed her circling and pulled Dory close, curling her in one arm.
"You getting to be a big fishy, huh?"
Dory clutched her arm and giggled, her face breaking into a happy smile that wrinkled her tiny nose.
"Boo, so funny,"
she sipped the water.
"Make fishy, boo."
"Ah, so you think I'm funny, eh?"
Xena leaned back into the sun, warmed rocks, and gazed at her daughter, who hiccuped and plunged a fist into the water, searching for booty.
"Hey, Dory."
Dory looked up, blinking her green eyes.
"Where's Mama?"
Dory immediately turned her head and peered across the spring, then pointed with one small finger.
"There."
She indicated the lithe form standing on the diving rock.
"Mama up there."
"Right."
Xena tilted her head back and regarded her partner, a fond smile tugging at her lips as she watched Gabrielle close her eyes and revel in the sun, her strong hands flexing a little bit before her dive.
"You know what, Dory? Your mama's very beautiful."
Dory looked back at her, blinking in amiable agreement.
"Go, Mama,"
she pointed.
"Mama, fly."
Xena watched the bard execute a perfect plunge into the water.
"Yeah, it's sort of like flying,"
she agreed, sparing a moment to dredge up the memory of Gabrielle's first tentative attempt at diving. To be continued. That concludes number 35 of the Xena and Ubers podcast, and that is A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. Make sure you check out our website at www.merwolf.com. I'll have a link on my show notes, a link to her site, so you can actually see her all her other stories as well. And once again, I do apologize for having stopped the other storyline in, not almost the middle of it, but towards the end of it. We'll see how things go and see what happens with that storyline, but I would suggest you go and take a look at the website and read up on the stories. It's a good reading material for you to curl up and read one night when it's raining or there's nothing good on the telly. So grab yourself a drink and have a seat and read the story. Okay, the song snippet that you hear on this podcast is the Veronicas' Can We Bring Yesterday Back Around? It's a good little song snippet as well. So if anyone has any suggestions on a song or movie or a book they'd like to recommend, or if you have any questions that you're really dying to know the answer to, go ahead and email me at xena.uber@gmail.com. So until the next episode, everyone, take care. Enjoy life and work. Bye-bye.